Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Millennial Property with John Pidgeon here today, and I've got a special guest on who's talking about this massive problem we've got on our hands, and that's homelessness in Australia. In the last 12 months, it's been in the media quite a bit, and the affordability of housing and the rental affordability, whether we're buying or just trying to get a roof over our heads. But for someone like Deborah, this has been going on a long, long time ago, so she's going to explain what's going on in the world and thrash this out for us. Let's do it. Deborah Holmes, welcome.
Good to be here.
Thanks for agreeing to come on, because we're pretty passionate about understanding just what's happening out there. We're property investors generally. We get a lot of people that tune into our show to get some tips and tricks on how to invest in residential property. But we realize that there is a crisis on our hands. So you do some unbelievable work at the Avalon Centre. Tell us just how bad this situation is at the present.
Well, it is very, very bad indeed. It's at the moment we've got over 120,000 people in Australia that are homeless, and in Victoria alone we've got about 25,000, and that's not just people sleeping rough. It's also sleeping just on couches and couch surfing, so to speak, and boarding houses and everything like that. And it's getting a lot worse because of the housing affordability. And, of course, rentals have gone right up with the rates rising, the increase in rates. And it is really, really difficult. The cost of living, obviously, has gone up. And that's been putting more and more people on the streets. And people are just finding it almost impossible to get any form of accommodation.
Yeah, it's definitely a sad state of affairs. And we'll talk about how we can rectify this or what you think should be done later in the show. But tell us, first of all, how you got involved with creating the Avalon Centre and what the Avalon Centre actually does.
Well, we've been going now since 1987. That's when we first established. And we started off a different sort of centre, more of a natural healing, new age type of centre. And then we've moved into focusing more on people with disabilities, mental health and the homeless. So we have a mission statement. It's a very simple mission statement. It's just to help where we can, when we can, and in whatever way we can. And we go out and distribute clothing and bedding to the homeless, shoes, toiletries. We have a drop-in day where people can come and access clothing and food if they want to get food parcels here. We also have day trips for people with intellectual disabilities. And we try and provide as many people with as many things as we possibly can. But we have our own program, Avalon Homes, for the homeless. And this really came about because of we were going out, giving out all the clothing and the bedding, and it was an important service we were offering. But, you know, we became very aware that we're only really just a bit of a band-aid treatment. Yeah. The real need was a roof over it. You know, because we'd say, would you like, you know, do you need a jumper? Do you need, yes, I do, but I really need a roof. And that would be the most common thing we'd hear. I just want a roof over my head. I just want a place I can call home. So I did a bit of research, and I came across the only country that I could find anyway in the world that was where homelessness was on the decrease was Finland. So I thought I'll go over there, see what they're doing. So, and see what's happening over there to make it, you know, be on the decrease. So I went over and found that they had adopted this housing first model, which basically is providing the home first and then you provide all the supports. Whereas here we have to go, they have the supports and jump through a whole lot of hoops, and then eventually they'll get their house at the end of it. But, I mean, how do they are supposed to get their lives together when they haven't got a home and the stability and the security to be able to do that? So house first and then the support.
Okay, and I love that philosophy, and I'm interested to find out just how we go about this. But when was it that you decided, yeah, Finland's the place to be, that they're doing it right? What year did you set off over there and then bring that back to Australia?
That was the beginning of 2018, yes. So I was in Finland and then came back, and we bought our first house at the end of 2018. So that's when Avalon Homes for the Homeless really kicked off.
Okay, so prior to 2018, I'm definitely not calling it a token service or a Band-Aid, as you said, but it's basically a case where you go out and you provide some blankets and clothing and you're doing your best out there prior to 2018, but you're just feeling as though you're not making a real impact to these people, and it's not solving the greater issue. How did you then leapfrog from that to actually having these homes available for people to now go and sleep in or live in?
Well, basically, when I saw the need was there, I thought we've just got to try and get some money together to buy the first house to get to kickstart us, which we managed to do. A bit of fundraising and a bit of couple of generous donors who gave us the money, and we were off and running, really, because the government have spoken a lot about accommodation and what they're going to provide, and they're going to provide so many hundreds of thousands, well, all this sort of thing. But I didn't really see anything happening. I still saw the people on the streets. I still saw people saying, I've been on the list for 16 years, 20 years, I've been waiting, and this has happened and that's happened. And I thought, well, they're not going to do anything, so we'll do it ourselves. And that's what we did. So we just went out and got the house and provided all the support to go with it.
That's amazing. So local fundraising or some philanthropists got together and said, look, we've got enough money. We'd like to donate our funds to you guys to be able to purchase a home. So you almost came like a joint venture. You were the buyer's agent going and buying these properties with other people's funds that allowed the homeless to come and live in these properties.
Yes, there were some very generous people. I think they resonated with our vision. That was the thing. They heard, you know, about, well, Finland and what I was looking at and how it worked over there and how it did have an impact, and they wanted to jump on board and be part of it. And we've had other people since then. We've got 9 properties now since that period, since our first property in 2018, and they're just flats. Most of them are flats, but, you know, they're providing homes, roofs over people's heads. It's really, really, really important.
Love it. And where are these properties located, Deborah? Like, obviously, there's over 100,000 homeless, and that's just growing daily. You're making a great impact at the moment. Where do you even decide to buy these units for people to live in? Do you look at where majority of the homeless are living or staying camping out?
Well, yes, certainly. Well, affordability too is obviously important. So we bought most of our properties are in Dandenong, which is accommodation there is much cheaper than it would be around the area we live here. If I bought a property here, I could buy probably 6 for the price of 1 here.
So just for reference, your office is in Melbourne.
East Melbourne, yes.
So it's in a southeast, would you call it?
Yes.
Whereas the Dandenong's in Melbourne. For everyone referenced around Australia, Dandenong's 30, 40, 50 k's.
Yes, it's not too far. It's about, what would it be, 30, 20 minutes, 25 minutes from here, just straight onto the onto the freeway. But it's a good area in that, not apart from just the affordability part side of things, the infrastructure is great, and there are a lot of people there that are homeless. The need is very high there, and also there's some marvellous services available. That, you know, for the drug and alcohol counselling, the domestic violence, all of this, the mental health support. So people can still, the people who are on the streets that get into our homes or domestic violence or whatever, they can still access all their services and be in an area they know. Transport's fantastic there, so really, it's perfect place to be.
And if you're able to disclose, what sort of funds is required to buy these types of units? Are we talking $200,000, $300,000? Is it $100,000, $500,000?
We're looking at around $250,000 to $350,000 for a 1-2 bedroom flat. But now what we've done, we've had people that have just literally given us the money for a flat, you know, just donated. Amazing donors that have said they wanted to remain anonymous. One person giving this money, and wow, it's incredible. Yeah. And but obviously not everybody's going to have access to $200,000 to give us, or $300,000. So what we've now managed to get a loan from the bank, and banks are it's very difficult to get loans for charities.
Yes.
Because banks are very reticent to give any money to any charities. It's not a good look if they have to foreclose on.
No.
So it's not good. And we can't guarantee an income, you know, and all this sort of thing. So, and obviously the amount of rent we pay, because what we're charged, we only charge 25% of whatever the people earn. So sometimes it might only be $60 a week. So after about 2 or 3 years, the NAB bank has come on board, which is great. So what we're offering now to people, which is, it's fantastic, is people can give us, say, $20,000 a year, and that's servicing a loan for a house, for a flat, I should say. And that $20,000, I mean, it's not a lot of money if you divide it up, but you might have four people, you know, four friends or whatever. So you're only paying $4,000-$5,000 a year to put a roof over someone's head. I mean, it's amazing. You know, I'm just, you know, there's a few people that have jumped on board, but I'm surprised more people haven't, because it's, you give money to charity, and a lot of the charities just, you know, absorb it in admin fees and
running costs.
You know, wages. We don't get paid anything. We're all volunteers at Avalon. And so none of it gets absorbed in that. The money that you pay would be directly going towards, as I say, servicing the loan, which other, you know, putting a roof over somebody's head, which is, I think, it's a fantastic opportunity.
Yeah, it is, absolutely. And we'll talk about how people can get involved later in the show. But how do you try and dissect people from the community and choose when you've got nine properties? I guess people must be just literally knocking down the door to come and live in one of these units that you're purchasing. How do you actually select and create a criteria that says, yeah, your turn's up, you're in, you've got yourself a house?
Well, we've fine-tuned this a lot. In the beginning, it was quite, you know, it was a bit all over the place because we'd never done it before. Mm. Now we've fine-tuned it a lot more. We've got quite a strict criteria of the people that we want, and I've got in touch with all the housing places, places like Launch Housing, which is one of the largest, of course, housing providers, and AXCO, which is helps people that have just come out of prison, WAYS, which they support people who domestic violence and homelessness, and some other organisations as well that we're involved with, Monash Health, and we put forward, okay, we've got this flat that's available, this is the criteria, this is what we expect, this is what, you know, and if they have any people that they think it's appropriate, they send a referral and tell us everything about the person, and then I share that with the board and we discuss it, and we come up with the one that we think is the one that is most in need, because we really want to focus on, there's a saying that worst is first, and that's the ones we want. The ones that are in the worst circumstances are going to be the ones that we want to accept into our property, and also the ones that have reached rock bottom. They really have hit rock bottom and want to, there's only, you know, two ways, and it's either out or up, and they want, I say to people, we're not offering a, you know, a handout, we're offering a hand up, but the hand up's got to be taking the hand of an extended hand. They've got to be ready and willing and wanting to change their life circumstances. We don't want to have somebody that wants to jump on board because it's cheap rent and, oh, this is great. And
yes,
unfortunately, we have had some of those people,
I'm sure,
that have pretended that they're going to change their lives, and then they, once they get in, we're just shoved aside, and which is not what we want. We want engagement with them. Each house has a supporter, each home, an Avalon supporter who is there to be the link between Avalon and the house. Mm. We provide absolutely everything and that means, you know, furniture, furnishing, crockery, cutlery, linen, everything, just name it, food in the cupboard, right. So they can literally walk in straight off the street and get into their home.
Okay, that's fantastic. And do you guys act as the property manager, or do you get a local real estate agent who can manage that on your behalf?
No, well, we try and do the property management. We have got a volunteer who does that. But we also have, now we've got just recently a corporate partner, Longview Property Management, which is fantastic. We're their charity partner, and this is all very new and very exciting from the end of last year. And they have been an incredible support. And they're also as a resource, because we're flying blind a lot of the time. We they'll help us with any questions we have, how we cope with this or that or the other. They've got a huge, I mean, they manage over 4,000 properties, so they're pretty big.
Yeah,
and, big to us. Mm. And they've been a wonderful support, really wonderful. So
Deborah, I may be wrong here, but I'm on a website called AustraliaReviews.com.au and it talks about homelessness stats in Australia. And there's an article out early in February this year, and it talks about myth versus reality, because I think there's a common misconception out there as to what actually causes homelessness. And they're saying in reality 54% of homelessness is caused by lack of affordable housing. Is that something that you would agree with?
Yeah, definitely that, and domestic violence, that's another one that well, I suppose it's all linked, isn't it? I mean, you've got a domestic violence situation, and then you can't get a home because one person has the home and the other person, there's no affordability.
So we've got lack of affordable housing at 54%, family violence at 34%, loss of job at 14%, and then mental illness at 13%.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the myth is that it's all drug addiction and alcohol abuse and gambling and all those sort of things.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's really interesting if those stats are actually correct.
Well, I think with the alcohol, I've often said to people, if I was on the street, I think I'd turn to alcohol. I think it might be a way of coping. I don't think there are a lot of people that alcohol has put them on the streets. I think it's the other way around. The streets have turned them into, you know, dependent on alcohol and drugs just to survive, which is very, very sad indeed. But certainly, as I say, domestic violence is a very big one, and housing affordability and rental affordability. Yep. I mean, people can't even afford to rent anymore.
No, absolutely. We're going to take a break, and after the break, we're going to actually talk about this. How can the government fix this? Because you're doing an amazing job making a difference out there, real difference, I think, to homelessness in Australia. But the government are a much bigger beast and can fast-track this a lot more than people think. We're going to talk about that, and we're also going to talk about how just the everyday person like myself can also help out. We'll be back in a sec.
If you're after personal financial advice, don't get it from a podcast. If you would like help based on your own personal situation, head over to sortyourmoneyout.com, click Get Help, and we'd be happy to introduce you to one of our trusted advisors. We also have a panel of trusted mortgage brokers we can connect you with to get you into your first home, an investment property purchase, or to review your current loan if you don't have a broker. Our panel of advisors, mortgage brokers, and accountants work with clients all over Australia so they can connect with you wherever you are. That's sortyourmoneyout.com and click Get Help.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Okay, so let's hit it in the eyes, Deborah. How can the government help with this out-of-control crisis that we've got going on in Australia?
Well, certainly the provision of more social housing is so, it's so limited. And they talk about all these properties they're going to build and what they're doing, and but I can't see it. I can't see what's happening. I can't see anything that's going on. And that's the focus has got to be on social housing, because there are so many people that are desperate. And these are people with, you know, that are mid-income sort of thing, mid to low income, you know, they're really suffering. They're going to lose their homes. You know, they may have their own home, but they're going to lose it because the rate rises are just, you know, I mean, they've gone up $1,000 a month, their repayments, people have told me. And they're really getting incredibly worried. And as I say, yeah, the rental is just as bad. So social housing is definite, is a must.
So we're about 10,000 properties per year short from the latest census data that we're not building enough houses by. So 10,000 every year, so that's compiling to be 100,000 roughly over 10 years, right? And do we stop people moving into the country? Because international migration is a massive contributor to that. Like, is that one way of curbing this?
Stopping moving them into the country?
Well, it's a supply and demand thing, isn't it? Like, there's more people living longer, less people are dying younger, and more people moving into the country than ever before, because the country where they're living is not up to Australian standards per se. So is that an option? Like, the government absolutely need to build more houses, no doubt about that,
yeah,
and it
absolutely
needs to be affordable. But we've got to fast track this this epidemic.
Well, there's also a lot of empty housing around too. Uh-huh. This is one that I can't understand. I mean, I'm sure everybody knows or has seen properties that are just lying empty. Mm. They might be large buildings. They might be just even just your local home in the local suburbs, yeah, that have just been empty for sometimes years. I mean, I just don't understand what's going on there. Why can't some of these properties be accessed in some way to be able to provide housing for people? It's there's a lot of space around there, you know, a lot of empty spaces and offices in particular. I mean, a lot of people aren't using offices anymore. They're working from home and offices are empty. There's buildings, there's churches, there's a lot of very large areas that I think if the government could have a bit of a sniff around there and look around, they could do a lot. They really could.
Yeah, that's a good point. There's a lot of private investors that have, for tax benefits or whatever else, leave their properties vacant. There's a lot of commercial investors that do the same, and a lot of government buildings that have properties that aren't being used for a good chunk of a 24-hour period, right?
Absolutely. It's so frustrating when you see that, and then you go and see people lying in the gutter and you think, oh, it's just, you know, it's not rocket science, is it, really?
Well, it shouldn't be, no.
No, but they just don't seem to want to do anything about, you know, and spend a whole lot of money on things that, I mean, imagine the money that has been spent in the last, with the 2 years when all of the people put in Melbourne, I'm talking about, into hotels.
Yes.
I mean, that must have been a huge amount of money was spent, you know. That could have built I don't know how many places.
Yeah. So where to for the Avalon Centre, Deborah? Like, you've got this thing off the ground. It's doing wonderfully well and making a difference. You've gone from taking buses out to people and providing them with blankets and clothing and all those sort of things, now to actually buying houses for these people to live in, which is outstanding. Where for the next 5 to 10 years for you guys? Like, you're based in Melbourne, are you taking it national? Like, what's your vision?
Well, to end homelessness in Australia, that's my vision. But at the moment, there's enough to do. There's enough to do just in Melbourne alone. Until I see those numbers go down, I'm not moving anywhere else. You know, I think it's crazy. I mean, if we start going out to other places yet, we've just got to get more people on board,
yeah,
so we can get more houses and more support. And that's the part. I mean, it's it amazes me that more people haven't jumped on board, because it's such a fantastic way to know that you're, I mean, what we do with people who are donors and everything like this, you know, we keep in touch with them and let them know exactly what, you know, who's in the who's in the house and what the family's doing, or, and, you know, they really feel part of it.
Mm.
It's not a thing that, okay, give us your money and off you go sort of thing. It's, yeah. And of course, tax deductible as well, tax deductible donation.
Yeah.
Because it concerns me at times. People are saying they want to give a donation to, you know, to get a tax deduction. It's coming up to tax year, and they think, oh, well, I'll give it to the Selvos. You know,
yes.
They think of the great big ones where, as I said, it's absorbed into the wages and everything.
Running costs.
Why not give it to somebody, you know, a smaller organisation? I'm not just talking about Avalon, but it's there's a lot of really grassroots volunteer organisations run, you know, 100% by volunteers, and that's, you know, it. You can really see you're making a difference, a really, you know, hands-on difference, which I think is, you know, people want to feel. They don't want to think their money's just being thrown away and, okay, I got my tax deduction and that's it sort of thing.
Totally, yeah. Oh, to see the look on people's faces when they get the keys to the unit that they've now got as a roof over their head must be just priceless, right?
Oh, yeah. It's just incredible. It's you know, you can see that nobody's ever done this sort of thing for them.
Yeah.
And we provide, as I said, everything. They come in and there's flowers on the table, and it's it really is. It's and then I make it very clear to them, you know, because they say, can we do this? I say, well, it's up to you. It's your home. It's not ours. It's your home.
Yeah.
This is your home for as long as you want to have it as your home.
Okay. So just on that, it might be getting into the sort of weeds of it all, but who actually owns the property? When you go to the land titles office, who is the owner of this property?
The Avalon Centre.
The Avalon Centre owns it.
The Avalon Centre, yes. It's just the donors pay, they just service the loan.
Sure.
So they give a donation of, say, $20,000. Usually, I don't really know, we might have to revise those figures now.
Property prices are going up.
Yes, I've got to work on that one. I'm not quite sure. Work out the rates. But we were looking at about $20,000, because we were at one stage, $15,000 was enough to buy a flat, $15,000 a year. But we obviously need a commitment too. We don't want somebody just jumping on board for a year and then leaving, and otherwise we're going to have about, you know, 50 mortgages on our hands.
Yeah.
And that would be, that'd be bad luck. But as I said, a few of, that's only four of our properties. So the rest of them have been bought outright, which is great.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So we've got four properties at the moment. Well, this has only just started in the last year, really, the this program with the NAB.
Yeah, and it is great to see one of the big four come on board and support.
Yes.
Because there's no real disadvantage to them coming on, and it's an awesome look from their end to be able to help people in need, for sure, isn't it?
Yes. Well, it'd be nice if they gave us a reduction in the the rates, perhaps.
Yeah, or carved out some of their profit to you, Deborah.
Yes, it would be very nice, but but never mind. Perhaps further along the track, we might
absolutely
be able to...
Yeah, well, look, you guys are doing such a wonderful job, and for you to just go over to Finland and say, right, this is the cutting edge of homelessness in the world, they're making an impact, and to take that and their concept and bring it back to Melbourne and hopefully what will be national, like, I can see this really growing legs. If volunteers like yourself can be represented in all the major capital cities and the larger regionals to combat this thing, it's a numbers game, isn't it, to be able to have enough momentum to people like myself and everyone listening here today to have the awareness to say, hang on, this is making real change. I'm happy to put my hand in the pocket to actually reach out and help these people who are, for some way or reason, less fortunate than currently what we are.
Absolutely.
Okay, so in finishing, any final words? And just while you're thinking about that, I believe there's three ways that people can help, donate, sponsor, or volunteer. Can you elaborate on that as well?
Yes, well, the most important thing, of course, as I say, is the donations. That's really what we need, whether it's supporting the house, a home for someone, or just giving a one-off donation, which is great. You can just get onto the website and have a look. Volunteering, we always need volunteers, of course, too. I mean, that's the heart and soul of Avalon, is the wonderful volunteers. And we have a huge amount of roles. It might be sorting clothes, or it might be being a supporter at somebody in a home, and everything in between. So there's a range of different volunteer roles that can use the skills of people. And sponsorship, of course, as I say, sponsorship of the housing is very important.
Yeah.
But also donations for our other programs too. I mean, we have our drop-in, and we have our day with Avalon, and these sort of things too. And, of course, our clothing distribution program will continue. We go out in our vans and in the nights and during the day and everything. So
yeah, it's amazing. Yeah. So by way of sponsorship, you mean you can put up a large chunk of money to basically fund that one unit, versus the donation might be just a one-off $50 or something like that to help with the overall running.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. It's any amount of money is going to help. And the good thing is that if you give a dollar to Avalon, a dollar will be used to help people. We have very little overheads and no wages, and yes.
Yeah, which is awesome. So for those who want to check this out further, avaloncentre.org.au, the website will be in the show notes amongst everything else as well that Deborah's spoken about today. But the concept of four or five of us getting together and pulling our funds and saying, look, we're going to get ourselves a unit for someone to go and live in, is a really powerful thing. So many friends groups around the country that can bond together and do all this, and we're in a year of unprecedented interest rates for the last probably 5 or 6 years. Like you and I, Deborah, we've seen interest rates go higher than this before, and we probably will again. But for those that are new to this, it's quite a shock. So the cost of living is increasing, so it is hurting everyone's wallets. We don't shy away from that fact, but we've got to be always thinking there's people out there worse than us, and maybe we can help them a little bit with our own funds.
Absolutely.
Deborah, well, it's been a pleasure. I've really enjoyed this chat. I was driving to the airport at 4 o'clock one morning, and Triple M had a recording of an interview that you guys did with them. I don't know if you remember that or not, but I wrote it down as I was driving, which was probably not that wise. And I said, look, I'm going to get in contact with this lady. I want her to tell the story, so that we can help curb this crisis that's going on in Australia at the moment. So hopefully everyone listening out there has found it valuable today, and look forward to chatting again soon.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure being with you and telling the story of Avalon. So thank you.
All right. Thanks for allowing us into your lives again today, and we will chat soon.
We acknowledge the Awabakal people, traditional custodians of the land on which our studio sits, and pay respects to their elders, past, present, and emerging. We extend that respect to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples who may listen to our podcast.
Taking your property journey to the next level starts with education.
That's why we make this podcast, but we've also created online courses to equip you with the knowledge you need to take the next steps.
I've created the Solvair Online Academy, open to both first home buyers and seasoned investors, where I share my tips and experience from 20 years in the property space.
And if you're a first home buyer, I have the course just for you. Everything from pre-approval all the way through into your settlement, and everything in between. How to place an offer, how to bid at auction, what to even look for at an open home, and what questions to ask the agents. It's all covered in my online course.
Follow the links in the show notes to sign up and get started today.
This podcast is for education and entertainment purposes. Any advice is general financial advice only, which does not take into account your objectives, financial situation, or needs. Because of that, you should consider if the advice is appropriate to you and your needs before acting on the information. If you do choose to buy a financial product, read the product disclosure statement, target market determination, and obtain appropriate financial advice tailored to your needs. Simo Interactive Proprietary Limited, the publisher of the podcast, and Glenn James are authorised representatives of Money Sherpa Proprietary Limited, which holds financial services license 451289.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned, We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.